The halachas of the 9 days, which starts Sunday night at Shkia. So all of these halachas take effect right after Shkia on Sunday night, after sunset. Okay. First of all, unlike up until Sunday night, where you're only not allowed to buy new things that would necessitate a shechiyanu, from Sunday night and on till after Tisha B'Av, you can't buy any new clothing, including underwear, anything. Anything new is awesome. Now, things that are not clothing, however, you can buy. You can buy household things, or it only applies to clothing. However, things that are not clothing items that have extra simcha to them, like silver for a wedding or something like that, under normal circumstances you shouldn't buy. There are exceptions. If you have the problem of buying something for a wedding after Tisha B'Av and you can't get it afterwards, or you're getting on a special sale, there are hetero. Okay. Building purely for enjoyment. Like building a patio or something like that, that's totally for enjoyment, not for living, is aser during these 9 days. Building for dwelling purposes, repairing house repairs or whatever, is mutter. However, painting a house, wallpapering a house that is just for decorative purposes is also aser. What else? Okay. And planting also. Planting a pleasure garden or trees or whatever for pleasure. Also, you shouldn't do now. You can water plants that die if you didn't water them, or that would be damaged, that you're allowed to do. But to start a new garden during this time, you shouldn't do. Okay. Eating meat and drinking wine. From Sunday night and on, except for Shabbos, you can't eat meat, and that includes meat, fowl, chicken, is all osur. And wine includes grape juice also. And at a Sudas Mitzvah, or a Shabbos, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine. A woman who's cooking for Shabbos and has to taste the food to see if it's salty enough or not salty or whatever can taste it but not swallow it. You can taste a little bit and spit it out. There are situations where you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine at a Sudas Mitzvah. If you have such a shaila, ask, because there are different things, and not everybody's going to have a siyum during that time, or have a bris, or a pidyon haben, or whatever. If you have this situation, ask the shaila. I don't want to know.
If you spit the meat out, are you fleishik?
If you spit the meat out, are you fleishik? If you don't chew it, no. Somebody who always benches on a kos can bench on a kos during the 9 days too. And if you don't always, and most people don't, then can't bench on a kos of wine during the 9 days either. Okay, what else? Chicken and meat, and anything made with the gravy of chicken or meat is also osur. But something made in a fleishika pot that was basically clean, even if the fleishika pot had been used within 24 hours for fleishiks, is not a problem that you're allowed to eat. Okay, somebody who has to eat meat or chicken, or children that for some reason have to eat meat or chicken. So a child who needs the protein or whatever, until 3 years old, there's no Indian of chinuch bechlau, and you can feed a child meat and chicken. From 3 to 6, if they need the chicken, better to feed them chicken than real meat. And after 6, chinuch wise, unless the child is sick or something like that, you can't feed them chicken or meat. Okay. If again, if a person's sick and they have to eat for some reason chicken or meat, bizman hazeh, I think people consider themselves getting sick because they eat chicken or meat. So I don't know why chicken or meat should be a refuah, but in any case, if that's the case and you have to eat meat or chicken, then ask a shayla. Okay, and again, there are teirim at a sudas mitzvah, like a siyum, to eat meat and to drink wine, and how many people are allowed, and what's considered a siyum, and when the siyum is, before Shavuot Shechol Bo Tishah, before the seventh day of Av, all are significant, and if you have the shayla, ask it. Okay, so that's the next thing. Eating meat and drinking wine is one of the prohibitions of the 9 days. Next thing, and these halachas basically for most Sfardim don't start Sunday night, but they start Motzei Shabbos Devarim, which is almost a week later, the week of Tisha. For some Sfardim, they start Taka during the 9 days. So if you're a Sfardi, you should find out what your minig is. You shouldn't assume that all Svardim don't have these halachas. Some Svardim do.
Okay.
The next thing, wearing freshly laundered clothing or using freshly laundered bed linen or freshly laundered towels, handkerchiefs, all of this is included. What isn't included is underwear, stockings, socks, things that are worn specifically to absorb perspiration. There are different opinions, but I'm telling you what we hold here. If you want to be machmer, you can, and we'll see once again what you have to do. But in any case, but la halacha, personally, that's what I do. You don't have to dafka. Worry about underwear, socks, stockings, shirts, yes, pants, yes, dresses, yes, blouses, yes.
Okay.
There are people in Mekel Mor that hold shirts and blouses are included. They are included. Yeah. Hold on the question. Let me finish first. So, two things. First of all, you can't wash these things. Well, you can't wear them newly laundered. Therefore, any clothing that was washed in a washing machine or dry cleaned before the 9 days and you haven't worn it yet, you have to put it on, try it on before the 9 days start. In other words, on Sunday at some time or before that, you have to put it on. How long you have to put it on is also a difference of opinion. Lemaisa, since there are reasons why it could be that none of these things are prohibited, okay, even though we hold that they are, therefore you can be mako and do the following. You can put it on for a short amount of time, minute or two afilu, and you can put on more than one garment at a time. So you can put on a few blouses at the same time, a few shirts, a few pairs of pants afilu, and wear them for a short amount of time, and that's good enough. Again, there are opinions that you have to do one at a time and you have to wear it for a half an hour, which means that you'll be involved for maybe days trying on your clothing. But l'maish l'halacha, you can do what I'm telling you. You should not rely on putting them on the floor and walking on them or putting them in the hamper or something like that. Not l'chatchila. You should put them on, wear them for a short amount of time, and you can put more than one on at the same time. Okay. But the same thing goes with towels. You should undo them and wipe your face with them. Same thing goes with bed linen. Should lie on it for a little while. That's all the clothing that you're going to need for the 9 days, except the ones you're going to wear on Shabbos. Shabbos, you don't have to try on the clothing for Shabbos. But you should not wear Shabbos Chazon, which is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. You shouldn't wear freshly laundered clothing that just came from the dry cleaner, nor new clothing. But your regular, clothing that was washed or whatever, a shirt or whatever, a blouse, that you don't have to try on if you're wearing it for Shabbos.
From what age is all this?
This is from the age of education and up, which is about 6 years old and up. Okay. Washing clothing. So that's wearing clothing. Washing clothing. Washing clothing is a different thing. Here you can't even wash underwear or socks. You can wear freshly washed underwear and socks, but you can't wash them. So all the washing you have to do has to be done before the 9 days. It's not okay here giving into the laundry. You can give in clothes to a goyish laundry before the 9 days and not pick it up during the 9 days. Okay. Even if they'll wash it during the 9 days, but you're giving it before and you're picking it up after, but there's not no gay over here. We don't have any non-Jewish laundries over here. Okay, what else? If you run out of clothing and your clothing is all dirty, okay, then until Shavua Shechol Bal Tisha B'Av, you can, under certain circumstances, wash clothing so you'll have what to wear. During Shavua Shechol Bo, for the most part, that heter doesn't exist. So if you have a shayla, should I ask, even if you're allowed to wash clothing in that whole week before Shabbos Chazon, because you don't have anything else to wear, you ran out of clean clothing, and all there is dirty ones, you can't do it publicly. So you shouldn't hang it on the line outside, you should hang it up in the shower room inside your house. Okay, like we said, it includes linen, handkerchiefs, towels, tablecloths, all of this is not allowed to be washed. Children's clothing. Okay. Children's clothing that they wear once, get dirty, and it must be cleaned again. What's it called? You can wash those clothing privately, even during Shavuot Shechol Bo Tisha B'Av. So little children, toddlers' clothing, but children, older children, right, who can wear a pair of pants more than, you know, one day without getting it completely dirty or whatever, those you should treat like adult clothing. Okay. A woman who has to wash clothing for the sake of going to the mikvah or whatever, doesn't have white clothing, there are also heterim to wash if she doesn't have something that that she can wear that's proper. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about linen for children? Are you allowed to put that on the line outside?
Also has to be inside. But the linen for children that wet their bed or whatever you can wash, you should wash it privately.
What about trying on undershirts? My kids all wear undershirts to keep the sweat. Do they have to try those on before?
No. We said that underwear, socks, that you don't have to try them.
Leslie, we try on the clothes. Do we have to button them up, or is it the mop or whatever?
No, you don't have to button. No, just put your arms through it, and right, and you don't have to button. But you have to put your arms through it. You can't just drape it over your. That's not called wearing. Wearing it with the sleeves or whatever, if it's not buttoned up, is okay. Shabbos, our minig is you can wear Shabbos clothing. Like we said, you shouldn't wear the best Shabbos clothing that you have. Shabbos clothing that will pass for Shabbos clothing, not look like weekday clothing. And you can also wear a clothing that was washed, even not under, like a shirt or whatever, like or a blouse, but preferably not dry cleaned. Okay, if it was dry cleaned, it should be worn before. Okay. New clothing. So you can't buy, like we said, new clothing, and you surely can't wear new clothing. And new clothing, even underwear, socks, stockings, is included also new. And you can't make new clothing. And you can repair old clothing. So during the 9 days, you can sew on buttons, you can, sew up a rip or something like that, but you can't add things to a garment. Like add another seam to make a dress longer or something, that's like making it new.
A patch?
A patch is not making a new thing, it's just repairing an old thing. A patch is okay.
You can't make a new thing, but can you, like if it was already, like if you're in the middle of sewing a skirt or something, can you finish it off? Or no, that's like...
No, like you can... What? No, if you're making it for yourself, you can't. If you're doing this for Parnassa, and you're sewing it for someone else, then up until Shavuot Shabbat, you can continue sewing for Parnassa. But for yourself, if you're sewing something new during the 9 days, you can sew something new.
Can you begin something? If you're like a girl who's doing a craft, can she start making a skirt if she's not going to finish it during the 9 days?
No. And therefore, all weaving, knitting, needlecraft, embroidery, also is osur, even if you're not going to finish it. Just starting it and being an osik in knitting, weaving, embroidering, needlecraft things are... special reason why that's osur, because of Evin Hashesia, and Shesi is like a loom. So anything that's made on a loom is also osur for that reason. Okay, shining shoes. So polishing shoes, using shoe polish, liquid shoe polish is okay. But shining a shoe where you buff the shoe, that could be like cleaning the leather. It's more like cleaning. There, it's better not to do that. If you have to shine your shoes, to use the liquid shoe polish. Okay. However, look out for the covered Shabbos. If you wear shoes that are not shined, not buffed or whatever, it's going to obviously look like it's not covered Shabbos. And we're no way to change clothing for Shabbos to wear Shabbos to get clothing. You can shine shoes even by buffing them for Shabbos. Okay. Any questions on clothing, sewing? Yeah.
When you said you can't wear new underwear and socks and all that, if I bought a whole lot of new stuff in preparation for having enough, is it good enough to run it all through a laundry load and then it's called
yes.
not new?
Yes.
That's good enough?
Yeah.
What about purchasing from the Gemach?
What's the difference? It's what do you mean purchasing?
Because it's used clothing, it's not really new.
But it's newly washed, I hope.
No. I wouldn't trust anything coming out of the Gemach being really washed.
That's not for you.
No, I'm just wondering, it's okay to purchase it, not necessarily wear it, but to purchase
it. To purchase it during the 9 days? No, you can't buy any clothing.
So
even used clothing.
Even used clothing, that's right.
Okay. Okay, bathing. Okay, to bathe your entire body, even in cold water, is osur. These halachas, basically, since there are heterim, apply only to children over bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah. Children under bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, you could be makel and then give them baths and showers or whatever regularly during the 9 days, especially in the hot weather we have. For adults, the halacha is basically the following. You're not allowed to bathe pleasure bathing, and pleasure bathing means even to take a nice refreshing shower or refreshing bath. That's called pleasure bathing. If you're doing it specifically to take off perspiration, dirt, you can wash your body to take off dirt. But there you should wash the localized place to take off the dirt. You don't have to take a shower if you have your fingers are dirty. Your hands are dirty. Wash your hands. Right. If your whole body is full of perspiration and you want to wash off the perspiration, so it's preferable not to take a shower or a bath, but to take a wet cloth and what's it called? A sponge bath to wipe off the perspiration. You're allowed to wash your hands, feet, and face in cold water. That's it. And unless you need soap to take away dirt, you can't use soap either, if the soap is just for refreshing purposes. That's the main halacha. The covered Shabbos, you can wash your hands, feet, and face in warm water. Nothing more. However, that's the bare halacha. Somebody can do that, that's what you should do. Okay, because l'maisa, that's the halacha, and it's only 1 week a year, and as it is, we don't do too much avelus for the Beis HaMikdash, so, you know, start making, cutting corners on these things, and the whole avelus is batel mevutel. So, that is the halacha, and if you can do it, matov u'manoy. However, since most people today are very finicky, especially women, but even men, and people most of the time bathe every day, and it's hot out, very hot climates, so therefore there are heterim for the following, and as much as you can minimize using these heterim, the better it is. Some hold that you can wash your entire body, and if necessary with soap, if you need it to take off dirt or sweat or whatever, in room temperature water, not warm water, but room temperature water. That's called still cold water. So you can turn on the hot water enough to take out the chill. If you have ice water that comes out of the tap, you don't have to take a shower in ice water. You can take out the chill that it doesn't. It's not more than room temperature. That's called cold water. And you can bathe regularly. For children, you can be somach on that. For adults, and if you need hot water because you have dirt or you have a sick, you have some kind of medical reason where you have to soak your foot or something like that, or you soak your body, right? You have a rash or something, and it has to be in hot water. You can do that for medical purposes or cleansing dirt. You can use even hot water. But for the sake of just taking off sweat and because you really feel uncomfortable, there you should limit to a shower, not a bath, a shower, and with room temperature water. Okay. And not with soap unless you absolutely need the soap to take off dirt. Okay. There are more coolers, but that, I think that's sufficient. It shouldn't be making more than that, except for children.
Deodorant or
anti-deodorant? No, you can use deodorant and you can use colognes and except for Tisha B'Av. Until Tisha B'Av, all those things are mutter. On Erev Shabbos. So again, the halacha is that on Erev Shabbos you can wash your hands, face, and feet. Hands meaning till the whole arm, your whole leg, and your face. In warm water. You can't wash your hair with shampoo unless it really is bothering you, right? Very itchy or whatever, and you need to shampoo your hair more or less, not for cleanliness, not for pleasure. Okay. So again, l'chatchila, that's what you should do. Erev Shabbos Chazon. Just wash your hands, face, and feet in warm water without soap, unless it's needed to take off dirt. You can wash your hair in warm water without soap. Next level up. You can use soap if it's necessary, even to shampoo your hair, but nothing more than hands, face, and feet. On the other hand, if you're already bathing during the week because you consider yourself an istanis, and it's really uncomfortable for you not to bathe, then Erev Shabbos, the covered Shabbos, you can take a regular hot shower with soap, and that's permissible. If you're going to be somach on the heter during the week, then you should take a hot shower for Shabbos too. Yeah.
I can see during the week the sponge bath would be fine, but the hair might get very, very itchy after 3 days of not washing it. So before Erev Shabbos during the week, how would you handle an itchy?
If you have a very itchy and washing it will help. Then and really uncomfortable. It's you can wash it.
Is sweat considered dirt?
Is what considered dirt? Sweat. Sweat is yes considered dirt if the only purpose you're washing is to get off the sweat. Sweat is not considered dirt if you're not interested in getting off the sweat. You're interested in having the pleasure of having a cool or warm bath or shower. That's what's awesome. So if you really, your intention is just to get off the sweat, then why do you have to take a shower or a bath? just take a cloth and wipe off the sweat. It's a little bit more time consuming. It's surely not as pleasurable, right? But that's what's awesome. So if it's just a matter of trying to get off an excess of sweat, use a cloth.
Is the armpit considered the arm?
Wash your armpits?
Yeah.
Lechara, from what I saw, the entire arm, some of the underarm, is the underarm. Okay. I assume. That's why they call it underarm. Yeah.
Is it better to try not to do things that are going to cause you to need a shower or whatever? Like if...
No, unless a person wants to work around the house or something with something that's water, and you want to go and water your garden or weed it or something like that, which is not just for pleasure. It's going to something that's killing the garden, and you want to do it, and you get dirty, and you get sweaty. Then no, you don't have to avoid doing those things.
People go for these exercise walks, or
if there's a purpose to do it, and because of that you get sweated up, it's okay. You don't have to avoid doing it. Because the Isser is bathing for pleasure. So you're not causing yourself to bathe for pleasure. You just now need to bathe, not for pleasure. That's okay. Like we said, Shabbos, you can eat meat, drink wine, even if you want to eat meat for Shalosh Shudas, until Shabbos is over, meaning until you daven Maariv. So if Shalosh Shudas goes on a little bit into the night, you can still continue eating meat. But once Shabbos is over, leftovers that you have from Shabbos you can't eat during the week, even though there are opinions that say you can. That whatever you prepare for Shabbos, you can eat meat during the week, or even Bava Balka, but the halacha is not like that. And you shouldn't eat a flesh of Lava Malka on Shabbos Chazon, not this Shabbos, next Shabbos. You shouldn't eat the leftovers from Shabbos till after Tisha B'Av.
Okay. Shaving on Shabbos?
Shaving on Shabbos? For Shabbos. You shouldn't do that. There are heterim, but we don't hold from that. Shouldn't shave the whole 3 weeks, including for an Erev Shabbos. Okay, anything else here? Let's see, what are we going to have? Yeah, next week we'll still be able to speak about Erev Tisha B'Av. It's going to be a week before Tisha B'Av, right? Right.
What about
traveling? So if you're traveling for a mitzvah, for sure you're allowed to travel. A mitzvah is even to go visit friends. That's also a mitzvah, or other mitzvahs. Traveling, you can travel. On Tisha B'Av itself, probably it's better not to travel unless you absolutely have to. But till Tisha B'Av, stop pleasure traveling for no real important purpose, maybe that you should go to curtail. But regular traveling by air or things that are natural, people do it all the time, it's not extra dangerous or whatever, it shouldn't be a problem.
What about like a family tiyul, to take the family as a bonding thing during the time?
Family tiyul.
To go to see something, to go to the Dead Sea or to go to Kever, to go for a walk in the forest, just as an opportunity family to be together to do something.
It's not something that's extra dangerous or something like that. Stop. Tiyul. Nice, it says on Tisha B'Av itself, you shouldn't take tiyuli mashma, that before that, it's not something, you know, extra pleasure. You're not going to an amusement park or something like that. Then the minig is that all the camps go on tiyulim during the 9 days. A family that wants to go out to do something that's not exceptionally, you know, simchadik, just, you know, a family outing, that should be okay.
Yeah. Kind of for a few weeks, actually, but if somebody, I guess, forgot that about, and they decided to give themselves a haircut, and toward the very end of the haircut,
they
realized it was 3 weeks, and so they stopped.
And how bad did they look?
Everyone sees their hair. I mean, it's a real difference.
Half cut and half not cut?
It's not even half. They were toward the end of the haircut, so there's not much left.
And how bad does it look? The person look like ridiculous?
Well, if she wore it down, but she...
Oh, a woman.
Very over bas mitzvah.
A girl.
It's not covered.
And how bad does she look? If you look at her, she looks like a clown? Or you have to really be told that that's what happened to notice it?
Yeah, I mean, she's hiding it, but she would really like to...
So I know how she feels. How real is it for people who look at her? Somebody looks at her, right? Is there any reason for her to be embarrassed? Objectively.
If she didn't hide it.
What?
It pokes at... I mean, it's, you know... It wasn't a little trim. Like, whatever. It's a...
I can't... you're not answering the question.
Oh, no.
Is it objectively embarrassing for her to be seen publicly the way she is? She looks ridiculous.
She's gone out.
Huh?
She has gone out.
Can she hide it?
That's what she's trying to do until we find out. But
if she can hide it and objectively... There's no reason for her to be embarrassed. People don't notice it, except she thinks people notice it. And she should be told that, you know, really nobody notices anything. If she looks ridiculous, you can even it out. So she, as much as she needs not to look ridiculous. Now, somebody had a bald haircut, you know, and half his head is bald, half his has hair. Right? That's a bizarre. That's what they did to the shluchim.
Well, there's not something with, like now it was already a mistake and whatever, but now it's not really a haircut. It's just this one more little snip, like that's still called a haircut.
Yeah, that's called a haircut, yeah. Okay. That's called a haircut. Just because she started doesn't mean you can finish. But if it would be very embarrassing for her to be seen in public like that, right, then for that she could cut the hair. But if she can hide it, it's not embarrassing. She's embarrassed, but it really is not embarrassing. She should be told that, you know, nobody's looking at her, nobody notices it, and...
And they're on the internet.
Okay, that's the criteria. So you decide where it fits, and that's the halacha. Okay. Any other questions on... just one machshava before we finish. The 9 days, the 3 weeks, 9 days, follows the opposite pattern of a regular mourning period. As a mourning period, you start with the most intense, and then you go lesser and lesser, 7 days, and then 30 days, and then for a parent till the end of the year, and each time it gets lesser and lesser. If the Chachamim wanted to make a mourning period for the Beis HaMikdash, what they should have done is started with Tisha B'Av. That's like the day of death, most intense. Then have a Shiva after Tisha B'Av to sit Shiva for the Beis HaMikdash, and then to finish off with Shloshim, and that'll be it, right? So they did just the opposite. We start with something like Shloshim for the 3 weeks, beginning of the 3 weeks. Then we go graduate up to like Shiva. And then we graduate up to the Yom HaMisa, and then after Tisha B'Av, it's finished. It's mamish the opposite. We've explained in the past a few different ideas. Just want to mention one of them again, because it's practically the reason, one of the reasons at least, by a regular Avelis, that it goes the way it is because emotionally, when somebody dies, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And you're just devastated, emotionally. And really you're not thinking, it's everything is total emotion. And if you continue on like that, you can't live like that. So you have to somehow get the emotions under your intellect, under your seichel. But it takes time, you can't just do it right away. So you need a shiva to not leave the house, and to have people be menachem, and then it dissipates a little bit the tzar. And then shloshim, it's like a deep sea diver. You can't come up all at once. You get the bends. So you have to come up slowly. So you come out of that emotional turmoil slowly. And eventually, it says, after a year, hames nishtakach min halev. The loss is forgotten from the heart. It doesn't mean it's forgotten. But it's no longer totally emotional. It's under your intellect. It's emotional, but the emotion isn't the ruler, the controlling factor. You can hold it in and deal with it in an intellectual way, at least somewhat. And the Avelis helps you to accommodate yourself to the new situation and put it under your control. By Tisha B'Av, just the opposite. There's no way that anybody could come on Tisha B'Av and feel emotionally turmoil. The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. It's been destroyed for 2,000 years. We don't never experienced it, so we don't know what we're missing, really. And it's very difficult to feel any emotion regarding the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. I'm speaking for myself, maybe. You're on a much higher madrega, and the mayor for sure is. But what's it called? But for me... What?
This was my crybaby, doesn't
it? No, you're obviously an emotional person, right? I'm a kind of you. Right, my wife is also Makana you because she would like me to be an emotional person too. But in any case, what's it called? I can't cry for real, you know. Right, the only thing I cry for usually is when I read a false novel that ends, right, or in my other Gilgulim, finish seeing a movie that you know you have tears in your eyes, because then the Sultan doesn't really care if you cry or not. It's all fiction. Right? For real things, they're he doesn't want you to cry, so it's harder to cry. In any case,
I went to a movie like that and I laughed.
That bad, I'm not. That's what's it called? It's impossible. My imagine, I can't imagine anybody, right, who is on the Madrega that. By Tisha B'Av, they mamish feel churban abayis emotionally. So therefore Chazal understood that. So you can't start with Tisha B'Av as the day of emotion and then you have to work down. At best, you start intellectually. Okay, you start feeling uncomfortable during 3 weeks and you begin to think about it a little bit and it's uncomfortable, right? You can't take a haircut and you can't, what's it called, listen to music. So you start to get into the mood of something's not right. Then you come, you can't wash, and you can't wash clothes, and intellectually, you build up a sensitivity to the fact that things aren't right, that you're uncomfortable. Hopefully, by the time Tisha B'Av comes, you can have some emotion. So that's why it's the opposite. By regular Avelis, the emotion hits you and you want to dissipate it. Here, you have to build up to get the emotion, otherwise you'll never get it. So slowly but surely, so that's what we should use the 3 weeks and the 9 days for, not just to be inconvenienced, not just to feel rotten physically, but one, not to be involved in these things so much so you can think about more spiritual things so you can identify with the Churban, and also to take from the physical uncomfort and realize that maybe you have to hone your emotions to feel that emotional discomfort too, that maybe on Tisha B'Av you'll be able to feel something. I think that's a reasonable idea and how to use these days properly instead of just feeling uncomfortable and hoping that they pass by fast and even hoping that your Mashiach will come and take a shower or whatever. If that's the only reason to be happy or whatever. Okay. Yes.
So then in that case, the day after Tisha B'Av, right away, you can just forget everything and go on and...
No, not you forget everything, but you've reached the crescendo. Once you reach that, right, we'd have to mourn all the time, all the year, or whatever. Elamai, you have to live a normal life. But once you realize that you could mourn, and you know that something's missing, that in itself should bring a person simcha that I know I'm missing something. So after Tisha B'Av, I can't go back and continue mourning, because otherwise there's no return to the Shabbat. And that can't be. But I feel, to a certain degree, happy that I felt something's missing. I understand that there's something to mourn about. And that, should bring a person who says, call him a Sabbath Yerushalayim, Zoche V'roa V'simchasa. Person who mourns Yerushalayim properly is Zoche in the present, not in the future, to see the Simcha. We understand that is that you don't really understand what you're missing. If you don't understand what you're missing, you don't know what would be. But if you understand what you're missing, then you understand what would be if you had what was missing. So you're zocha to see the simcha, to understand it. That in itself is something. So the purpose of the mourning is at least to understand that you're missing something, right? And therefore, even though you have to go back to live a normal life after Tisha B'Av, but at least you're aware that this isn't the way it should be. That's all.
Is it the appropriate time to plan a family trip the day after Tisha B'Av? Or
yeah, after Chatzos, Chachomim gave you, right? If it's mutter to do the whole year, then that's the whole year.